Since its earliest origins, there has been a spectacular explosion of life on the planet. Some creatures have come and gone. Others have stayed the distance. All species that have ever lived on the planet are related to each other, including us humans. Just one result of the journey of life. Oceans are teeming with life in all its forms. This is a journey to discover how this spectacular diversity came to be. We'll meet the beautiful, the bizarre, and the extreme. And we'll come face to face with some of the most feared predators on the planet. As we meet these creatures, we'll learn something of our own aquatic origins as we journey through the incredible seas of life. There's an enormous variety of life on our planet. But how did it all come about? For a few days each year, this remote Pacific beach sheds some light on the answer. Dawn reveals an epic struggle, one that's been going on since the time of the dinosaurs. It's a battle fought by all living things. Only the individuals best suited to the world in which they live stand a chance. It's what we call survival of the fittest. And at no point in these baby turtles' lives is this more critical than when they leave the nest. Hungry predators are waiting. It's an instinctive dash from nest to sea. Some youngsters lag behind. The tiniest difference in size and strength determines who lives and who dies. Some are weak, others strong. Chance plays its part too. Only a lucky few will make it to the water's edge. And any trait that increases a baby's chances of surviving will be passed on in its genes. It's natural selection, and it's been going on for billions of years, shaping life all over the world. You might not think we have much in common with a fish, but we actually share the same basic blueprint. A blueprint formed in the sea. The sea is life's laboratory, where many solutions to the challenges of living were first developed and tested. It's left its mark on every living thing, including us. At one time in our lives, we actually had gill slits, and even a tail. This is a human being just 24 days after conception. Bathed in a warm, salty sea of amniotic fluid, it's a time of extraordinary growth. And here on the developing head are gill slits, or more precisely, pharyngeal pouches. Fish embryos have them too. In fish, they do turn into gills, but in humans, they become parts of the face, ear, and jaw. This tail, too, suggests that we share ancestors with other animals. It's an echo of our evolutionary past. We humans are a tiny shoot on just one branch of a giant family tree. The tree of life. We're only one of tens of millions of living tips, each representing different species. And the way they all connect reveals how every life form is related. To trace our roots, we'll have to journey back to when the very first life forms appeared, 3.8 billion years ago. How did life begin? Back then, planet Earth was a pretty unpleasant place. The atmosphere was thin, there was no oxygen, and no protective ozone layer to shield Earth from the sun. Unfiltered ultraviolet rays beat down on the young planet with a strength that would be lethal to us today. That's not all. Massive volcanic eruptions and meteor impacts shook the land. Compared to this mayhem, the forming seas were a safe haven, and it was somewhere underwater that life first evolved. Seas were awash with organic molecules, building blocks of all life, formed naturally in the primordial soup of the early oceans. Somewhere in this cauldron, the recipe for our own DNA appeared. The first sparks of life were ignited. Meet the ancestors. Simple cells like these were the first living things, the predecessors of all future life on Earth. Over time, these cells diversified and spread around the world. And one group in particular would have a devastating impact on the planet. Here, off Western Australia, colonies of these ancient microbes still exist today. They form strange pillars made of lime, called stromatolites. This could be a scene from 3 billion years ago. They might look harmless now, but back then, these microbes almost snuffed out all life forever. By generating huge amounts of a new toxic gas, they triggered a global pollution crisis. This new gas was oxygen, and it destroyed primitive cells, poisoning them by the billion. Extinction swept the planet. But a few cells survived and thrived on oxygen, and they inherited the Earth. From now on, oxygen would power all life, from the tiniest cell to the biggest creature of all time. And this is the greatest oxygen breather of them all, the largest animal that has ever existed, the blue whale. Blue whales can be as long as a 737 passenger jet and weigh more than 30 bull elephants. Their massive lungs are 400 times bigger than our own. That means they can dive for 30 minutes on a single breath, and when they return to the surface for air, blow a spout of water 12 meters high. Every year, tourists encounter migrating blue whales as they gather off the coast of California to hunt tiny shrimp-like creatures called krill. There can be up to 2,000 of these giants at a time. It's the greatest gathering of blue whales anywhere in the world. Have huge appetites. They can take in 50 tons of water in a single gulp and eat 40 million krill a day. How did evolution ever make such a gigantic leap? Could a blue whale really have evolved from a single cell? With teamwork and cooperation, yes. The first step was for single cells to join together to create a new, more complex living thing. For even a whale is really just a vast group of cooperating cells. Cooperating cells. Sounds a simple solution, but the journey of life took almost 3 billion years to get this far. Among the first sea creatures to benefit from cells pulling together were the jellyfish. Jellyfish fossils have been found in rocks formed 670 million years ago. These ancient animals were the first to have muscle fibers and a simple nervous system. But a jellyfish doesn't know its front from its back. It reaches out in all directions, which can leave you going nowhere fast. Luckily, evolution had a new strategy up its sleeve, which would allow life to move forward. Incredibly, this is one of the most important creatures in the whole journey of life, the first ever to grow a head, the flatworm. And this worm's head start is the foundation of our basic body plan. We share the very same head sprouting genes. Flatworms also evolved the first eyes. Just a cluster of cells, they can't do much more than tell light from dark. But at least the worm has some idea what's coming when it's traveling head first. This new information needed processing. It might be small and very simple, but this is, nevertheless, the world's first brain. So it's thanks to the flatworm that our brains are in our heads and not in our backsides. If the evolution of the first brain was a milestone, then so too was the evolution of the first anus. The flatworm has an extendable stomach with just one opening. And the snag with that is it can't eat and excrete at the same time. But while some worms stayed flat, others got rounder and developed an internal tube, the through gut. In through the mouth, along the digestive tract, and out through the anus. This production line meant worms could feed non-stop. In fact, the through gut was such an efficient system that since then every living creature has had one, including us. At this stage in the planet's history, all animals were soft-bodied, but this left them vulnerable to predators. Then, around 570 million years ago, there was a major breakthrough when life chanced upon a winning formula. The softies turned hard. The first shells probably developed by accident. Early snails began to store mineral waste from their diet on their back, and this hardened into a shell. Today, there are 500,000 snail species, each with a different kind of shell. As these shells got thicker or more spiny, they also became more predator-proof. This scallop can clam up if it sees danger coming. But its simple eyes haven't detected this slow-moving, scallop-eating starfish. Once it feels the danger, though, the scallop pulls a fast one. It's a great escape, but with its heavy shell, the scallop soon runs out of steam. Half a billion years ago, some snails escaped the dangers of the seabed altogether. But how did they do that, weighed down by their heavy shells? The solution? A buoyancy aid. Snails filled their shells with gas, which marked the rise of super snails, the nautiloids. Later, the nautiloids' cousins rolled up their shells and became ammonites. Ammonites thrived for over 300 million years. This Ammonite graveyard in southern England was created by a single shoal. It's part of a huge fossil bed that stretches several miles inland and shows how prolific these creatures were. With their gas-filled shells, these primitive cephalopods ruled the open seas. But a rigid shell wasn't the only possible form of protection. Evolving down another branch on the tree of life was a flexible, lightweight suit of armor, as worn by the very first bugs. This is the most famous of them all, the trilobite. Its flexible armor allowed body segments to be specialized for different tasks. And with jointed limbs, animals could move faster than before. The trilobite's real trump card was its eyes, the first to see in detail. This was an evolutionary bombshell. For the first time, predators and prey could see each other coming. Eyes became a hunting tool and first line of defense. With them arose the superbugs. The eye triggered a deadly arms race as hunter and hunted struggled to outdo each other. This rush to stay ahead sparked an explosion of new life. This competition has resulted in some extreme bugs. These are the most sophisticated eyes of any creature on the planet, and they belong to the mantis shrimp. Whereas our vision uses just three color pigments, red, blue, and yellow, mantis shrimps use at least eight. Mantis shrimps need this high-tech gear not just to hunt their prey, but more importantly, to avoid each other in this colorful coral world. For the mantis shrimp is armed with nature's most earth-shattering weapon. A thickened claw turned club. It's a smash and grab attack. Armored animals were and still are very successful. But our ancestor was built very differently. Something a bit like this, a sea squirt. Nothing more than a bag of jelly. The incredible thing is, 80% of squirt genes are inside us too, including those that form the human heart. But where's our backbone? The key to that inheritance is found inside the sea squirt's tiny young. These little squirts have tails with a flexible rod inside, the earliest hint of a backbone. And from this flimsy start, the first true vertebrates emerged, including jawless fish. These jawless hagfish are deep sea dwellers that usually live way beyond our reach. Here, more than a mile below the surface, they're scavenging on the carcass of a dead whale. They might look more like worms than fish, but 500 million years ago, jawless wonders like these ruled the seas. Today, they sometimes rise up to the shallows, and in Sweden's cold, dark fjords, they may come face to face with fishermen. And if they think they're in trouble, just watch what they can do. It's a unique defense mechanism. A hagfish secretes mucus from glands on either side of its body, which swells on contact with seawater. The mucus also contains high tensile fibers that create a shield of slime. One hagfish can jellyfy a whole bucket of seawater, and that's not its only trick. Its primitive backbone is so flexible, it can literally tie itself in knots. And a slip knot can sometimes be a lifesaver. But about 400 million years ago, hagfish were sidelined by a new and deadly trend. Somewhere out there, a brand new kind of fish was evolving. Its front two gill arches gradually grew and encircled the mouth, becoming the very first biting jaws, as possessed by the very first sharks. And this was one development the sharks have taken full advantage of. Sharks' teeth are adapted to the diet of their owner. Sharks like the sand tiger have narrow pointed teeth for seizing slippery fish and squid. Other teeth, like those of seal sharks, are multi-pointed for feeding on the ocean floor, picking up crabs and shellfish. The snaggletooth's varied diet requires generalized cutting teeth. While the tiger shark's teeth are more like chainsaws, used to tackle turtle shell and fishbone. And these belong to the biggest meat-eating shark alive today, the great white. They slice through the flesh of sea mammals. Great white is one of the biggest success stories in the seas of life. But other sharks evolved along a very different track. They've even lost their teeth. These are stingrays, and here in the Caribbean off the Cayman Islands, they gather in large numbers to be fed by divers. Great rays are sharks' cousins, but their body plan has flattened out to make the most of life on the seabed. Most are bottom feeders, hunting crabs and fish hidden in the sand. Their mouth is underneath their head, so they can't see exactly what they're eating. But they can rely on an armory of other senses, which rays and sharks have developed to a whole new level. To demonstrate how finely tuned these senses are, we can run a little experiment. In the open ocean, sound is usually the first cue that alerts a predator to a potential meal. It travels four times faster in water than in air. Sharks like this Caribbean reef shark can hear the commotion from at least a kilometer away. They have excellent hearing, but instead of having ear flaps on the outside like we do, a tiny duct carries sound waves into their inner ear. Next comes the sense of smell. Blood and fish oil from this bait box can be detected from 400 meters away. Just a single drop of blood in 25 million drops of water is enough to turn a shark's head. Then to pinpoint exactly where the smell is coming from, it zigzags to pick up the trail. A 100 meters is still too far off to see the target, but a shark can feel it through the pressure waves created in the water. These are picked up by the lateral line, a form of sensory perception all fish have. It's only now, from 10 meters or less, that sight comes into play. In daylight, a shark's vision is as good as ours, but by night, it's much more sensitive. The structure of their eyes suggests sharks may be far-sighted. They see better at distance than close-up. But once they get this close, another sense kicks in. They can detect electricity. Tiny receptors on the snout can register as little as half a billionth of a volt. That's the electric field around a live fish, or in our test here, a metal feeding pole. In the final seconds of attack, the shark goes in blind to protect its eyes, closing them just before it bites. That's when the last two senses, touch and taste, finally come into play. And it's this combination of sensory systems that makes the shark such an effective high-tech predator. You might think such sophisticated animals would dominate the seas forever, but the journey of life is never an easy ride. Several times over the millennia, meteors shattered the world order and sparked mass extinctions. Primitive animals were lost, even the hardy ammonites. But in the shelter of the deep, their relatives survived, ready to branch out in a whole new way. The super snails rose up and colonized the shallow seas, eventually evolving into the latest members of the cephalopod dynasty: cuttlefish, octopus, and squid. Today, just once a year, millions of opalescent squid gather to breed off the coast of California. just a year old, it's the last act in the squid's short lives. Once the eggs are laid, most will die. Grow fast, spawn, and die young. A winning formula in the seas of life. Cephalopod means head foot. Not a bad description, really. This whopper is the giant Pacific octopus, 5 meters long, all head and feet. It's a gentle giant with an alien physiology. Blue blood, 3 hearts, and an incredible 9 brains. That's 1 big central brain, plus 8 mini brains, 1 in each tentacle. If cephalopods were really to compete in the seas, brain power would be their big advantage. These are Caribbean reef squid. When a barracuda's on the scene, their best chance is to think themselves out of a tight spot. They cleverly change their appearance to match their surroundings, both texture and color, an instant transformation directly controlled by the brain. To the predator, it seems they've simply disappeared. Squid also communicate to tell each other when the danger's past. They have an entire language based on skin tones. For modern cephalopods, brain power has overcome the need for a protective shell. They're simply smarter than the average fish. So why didn't our seas become dominated by the cephalopods? Because just when it looked like brain might triumph over brawn, fish chanced upon a masterstroke. A skeleton made of a new material, bone. With it, new bony fish diversified like never before. Skeleton was a landmark development, providing stronger structural support, greater protection, more effective gills, and improved agility. Then, for even more subtle maneuvers, fish evolved 2 pairs of matching fins, joined to both sides of their body by bones. This really was a winning combination, and its legacy would stick. It's why we humans have a pair of arms and a pair of legs. Other bony fish have turned to a more sedentary life. The frogfish has come up with a novel use for one of its bones. This is no wiggly worm. It's a fleshy lure operated by a modified fin bone. Mm-hmm. but all these damselfish see is a tempting mouthful. And not only is the frogfish master of deception, he's also perfectly camouflaged. This shrimp is unlikely to see him until he moves, and by then it's too late. Because frogfish jaws move faster than muscle. How? Well, that's down to bones again. It's an elastic trap jaw, preset under full tension. When triggered, the trap snaps open, increasing the mouth volume 10 times and sucking the prey inside. Incredible, but when it comes to bizarre bone structure, these small fry are the most extreme of all. For the first 2 weeks of their lives, they look like any other baby fish. Then something begins to go awry. The face distorts, and one eye starts to shift, moving across to join the other on the opposite side of the head. The beginning of an extraordinary transformation. The full makeover takes less than a week, and the results are fixed for life. This flat fish is now perfectly adapted to life on the seabed. Its shape and colouring mean it can keep a low profile. Handy whether you're hiding out from predators or creeping up on prey. But if you don't have what it takes to make yourself invisible, your best bet is safety in numbers. Living in a shoal is a great way to minimize one's chance of being eaten. Throughout their evolutionary history, shoals of bony fish have come under fire from all sides. They've survived the age of the dinosaurs. And a blitz of aerial attacks ever since. And all that time, they've been hunted from below as well. This is predation pressure at its most extreme. Any fish that can avoid this kind of onslaught would have genes worth passing on. And pushed to the limit, some fish eventually sought refuge out of water, with spectacular results. The flying fish, with the most extreme means of escape for any fish. It's a tactic designed to confuse any predator. Flying fish have evolved extraordinarily long pectoral fins. They don't flap, and are used to glide instead. It's the tail that does all the work, powering the fish along like an outboard motor. It's so powerful, the fish can glide for up to 100 meters at a time. Flying fish, perhaps the most extraordinary bony fish of all. It just shows anything can happen in the pressure cooker that is the crowded seas of life. And that's not the end of life's long journey through the seas. Descendants of some bony fish eventually became the whales and dolphins. What kind of extraordinary evolutionary journey could have led to these mammals of the sea? The first step was to leave the water altogether. By default, these fugitives had hit the jackpot. After some 3.5 billion years of evolution in the oceans, it was their descendants that would go ahead and colonize the land. They evolved into all amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals, including us. Ultimately, some land mammals developed a taste for seafood and returned to the oceans to hunt. Over time, their legs gradually turned into flippers, and they became the most charismatic creatures in the seas. This is the bottlenose dolphin, the most widespread dolphin on the planet. People admire and identify more closely with this animal than with any other sea creature. To swim with one is an exhilarating experience. Although we love dolphins, perhaps we should identify more closely with the smaller, cold-blooded sea creatures, as it's directly down to them and the way they evolved that we are the creatures we are. We are just a tiny part of the remarkable richness of our planet. And like all the other land animals around us, we owe our existence to 3.5 billion years of evolution in the spectacular seas of life.